Manhattan he is, it's all right. Most folks in Manhattan don't know where Crockett is, so it's all right. It's good to be back with you. Can y'all folks hear me in the back? Okay? If you can't, let me know and I'll get a hold of this thing here, okay? Because I roam a little bit. I'm an Italian preacher. I'm roaming around, you know. But anyway, it's good to see you. 20 years ago, I preached my first gospel meeting here. It's been 20 years. And over that 20 years, I've conducted it. This will be the 8th meeting that I've conducted here. And I get excited every time I come to Crom. I did remember when Bobby was alive, you know, he always had them big barbecues, you know, y'all would have the barbecues, he was cooking, you know, and thin ribs, all that good stuff, you know. I missed that last night, but we did go out, you know, and eat a little bit, but it's good. And I have to tell you about the clan showed up today, you know, that is the Hall clan.
That's right.
My sister's gang. And we're having a family reunion this week, and I tell you what, there are four great women in the world, as far as I'm concerned, alive today.
Yeah.
Three of them are sitting right there, and they mean the world to me. They've supported me through the years. I've been preaching now 53 years, and they've supported me back when I didn't know anything, but I thought I knew everything. You know, and they were patient with me and more with me. For a little thought today, I turn to the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. If you want to turn over there, we're going to look at that for just a moment. You know, Paul is preaching to the Thessalonians, a new church, and he gave some things about them. And one of the things that he said about them in this letter, which I want to encourage you, which we're going to do this week. We're going to be looking at the Word of God. I've been preaching for 53 years. I am not the best preacher, but I do have the best story. I guarantee you. And that's all that matters. You don't have to be the best preacher if you have the best story in the world. And that's what I have. And so we're going to be preaching the Word. This week, we're going to be telling the story. We're going to be telling the story to the world, but also encouraging you as a Christian that we will be encouraged through the Word. But Paul said to them in chapter 2 and verse 13, he said, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but," he says, "for what it really is, the Word of God, which," he says, "performs His work in those who believe." And that is what I want people to do, accept it as the Word of God. We live in a world today where people talk about the Bible, they carry a Bible, but they don't believe the Bible. They like to talk about religion. You know, we have lots and lots and lots of religion. In Arkansas, every time I turn around, I see a new church popping up somewhere, you know. I passed one that they call the Warehouse Church. I don't know why they call it that, unless they meet in a warehouse. That's the only thing I can think of. The Church of the Burning Heart, you know, the Church of Your Desire, the Church of Fire, you know, just all kinds of things. So every time you turn around, there's a new church in Mount Island, a population 900. Yeah, we're Mount Ida is a big town. It's the biggest town in Montgomery County. And population, like I said, 900. And the old main road goes to town, it goes like that. And every time the road turns, there's a church sitting on the corner, you know, representing some kind of beliefs or some kind of something or another, you know. And, but the thing about it is that we all claim to be Christian. We all claim to believe the Bible, and yet for some reason on every corner there's somebody representing some kind of different idea about this book. Whereas if it is the Word of God, which I believe that it is, you know, it's either true or it's not true, one or the other. We have to decide that. I saw a bumper sticker a few years ago said, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, you know. That's not true. It should read, God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not, you know. And that's the thing that it ought to be. But it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God has spoken His word. It's forever settled in heaven. And that's what we need to believe. So I hope and pray that you're people who believe the word of God. But I want you to know that we have to be careful within our own fellowship that we don't make tradition the word of God. It's easy for us to do, folks. We don't think that, you know. It's easy for us to talk about the folks on every corner. It's easy for us to talk about other folks. But sometimes, folks, we have our own tradition. I grew up in Northwest Tennessee. We all did in Northwest Tennessee. Now, I'm glad that it changed a little bit. But when I grew up, where I grew up, we didn't need in the church building, you know. We thought it was wrong, eating in the church building. Like I said, I'm glad we changed that idea, you know. I like eating in the church building myself, you know. I remember those good barbecues we had. I remember these good ice cream. I'm looking forward to Thursday night. I knew we'd have that ice cream. I saw it in the bulletin. I got excited about that, you know, that we're going to have ice cream again. Put that, you know. But a few years ago, we couldn't eat in the church building. And the only reason I knew of that we couldn't eat in the church building was because the folks down the road, they'd eat in the church building. That's the reason we didn't do it. Brother G.C. Brewer, who preached in Memphis for many years, he was a very great preacher, wonderful preacher. One day he got up and he said, Reverend, I want you to know we're going to have service tonight at 7 o'clock, and when you come in, we're going to come in the windows. I want everybody to come in the windows. Somebody said, Brother Brooke, why are we going to come in the windows? He said, well, I was coming down the road the other day in that church down there. I saw them going down there. I saw them going in the front door. And we don't do things what other churches do, so we can't go in the doors anymore. We're going to have to come in the windows, you know. Well, you know, it was funny, but it was true. A lot of times we don't do things because somebody else is doing it. Not because of this book. Not because of the word of God. And so we have to watch ourselves. But the emphasis I am giving you today is that we receive it as it is, the word of God. It's not the word of John. It's not the word of Robert. It's not the word of anybody else. It's not the word of the Memphis School of Preaching or Fried Hartman, which I'm a graduate of, or Harding College, or anybody else. It is the word of God. It's this book right here, you know. And it's not necessarily the King James Version. Paul did not speak in the King James Version, you know. And we get all tied up about that. I preach for churches where it said, you can't preach from anything but the King James, you know. Well, King James wasn't around when Paul spoke, when he wrote this book here, when he wrote those words, the Word of God. And I ask people sometimes, the major part of denominationalism came about using what book? Using what version? My brethren say, this, if these new modern versions, and I don't like paraphrases or anything like that. I'm talking about qualified versions, you know. But I ask them, where did they all come from? If you go back and look at them, they all use the King James Version. All the mainline groups that we have in America, they use the King James Version. It's not the version, it's what you do with that version. It's the twisting of it. Matter of fact, in Paul's day, he wrote the Galatian people. And he said, I marvel that you're so removed from the gospel to another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there would be some of you who would twist the word, who would twist the gospel. And so, folks, I'm here to tell you that even in the first century, before there was ever a version, they were twisting the word to fit their own ideas, to fit their own theology. And so it's been happening for years and years and years and years. But again, we get ideas in our mind. I am not a position defender. I am a truth seeker. And I hope and pray that that's what you are. I told my boys growing up, I said, I want you boys to be truth seekers. By the way, You know, my oldest boy, when he was 18, he said to me, being raised by a preacher, he said, "Daddy, I want to tell you something. I ain't ever going to be a preacher." I said, "Okay." Well, today he's preaching for a church in Dallas, Texas. Because of the Word, you know, the Word of God got there. And one of his first weeks there, I slipped off over there to hear him preach, because I had never heard him preach, Robert. He'd been a youth minister for a number of years. And I slipped off to hear him preach. And when he got in the pulpit, I noticed that he never would look at me, you know. And so after the services, he said, "Daddy, I guess you know that I didn't look at you." I said, "I noticed that. Why is that?" He said, "Because I'm afraid I'd have a flashback about that day I told you I didn't want to ever be a preacher." But he preaches the Word today, you know. But we seek the Word of God. And the amazing thing is that we've got to believe that this book is more than just words printed on paper. Regardless of the version, a lot of people, you know, they like to have the Bible sitting around. The preacher comes especially, you know, they like to have it on the coffee table, you know. It makes me look good, you know. You know, the preacher visited the lady one time, and her little girl comes through, and she said, "Honey, go in there and get that book that Mama loves so much, you know." And so when she came back out, she had to see a robust catalog. You know, that's what the little girl thought, you know, about that book that she loved so much. But a lot of people just, they think this is a good luck charm. You know, you see some people that carry a cross on their dashboard, crucifix or something or another, you know. St. Christopher, they call it, I think. That's to protect them, you know. It's a good luck charm. Well, for some folks, that's what this book is. It's just a good luck charm. It's sitting on the table. It's sitting on that, you know. And there are even some people that read it. I know of people who read the Bible every day. But yet, they didn't have an understanding of the Word of God. But this Word is more than just words on paper. When Jeremiah prophesied that he was going to die, or God said through Jeremiah, "I'm going to give them a new covenant, and it will not be a covenant that is written on stone." That's what he meant. And so in the first century, there was no Bible, was it? No, there wasn't a Bible. Paul wrote some letters, and that's what we have, a compilation of some of his letters. We don't have all of his letters. Did you know that? We don't have all the letters that Paul wrote. If you read the book of Corinthians, you'll find that he talks about a letter that he sent that we don't have. And actually, 2 Corinthians is probably 3 Corinthians, what we would call it, you know. But we do have his writings. We do have his writings, you know. But we have the Word of God. But it is more than, and God didn't intend for us just to look at words on a paper. He said, "I'm going to write this new covenant where?" Where? My head ain't working, but you got to speak up, okay? The heart. He's going to write it on the heart. The indictment against the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Jesus' day was the fact that they knew the law, but they didn't know the intent of the law. They could do the outside. They could do all the sacrifices and all of that kind of stuff. But they didn't practice it in the heart. And so when Jesus said, "You've heard that it is said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, don't be angry. Don't be mad at your brother." You know. He knew that, he said, because where does murder start? In the heart. With anger. I say, "You heard that he said, don't commit adultery. But I say unto you, if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery already." We don't look at that. Now there's a fellow gets out here, a woman gets out here, she commits adultery. Well, we're ready to stone her like they wanted to do in the days of Jesus. But these these guys out here that have seen women and lusted after them, Jesus said you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. That was the intent of the law. Jesus was not trying to say, the apostle would have said, what you've got to do is learn how to control yourself, you know. And so they didn't know the intent of the heart, but that's what it is. And so when Paul says here, he says this word, which also performs its work in you, will believe. That's the important thing, you see. The word of God is active. Hebrews 4:12 tells us about that word which is active. He says it's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word of God is just that. It is that which is active in our lives if we believe it. Not just something that we read. I talked to a fellow the other day. He said, I read the Bible 16 times this year. I said, has it done you any good? You know, it's good to talk about reading the Bible that many times, you know. I read bunch of chapters a day, you know. Well, sometimes I don't get to read that much, Robert. I sit down and I read two or three verses, but it takes me an hour to contemplate, meditate on those two or three verses, you know. It's not how much you read, it's if you read. But if you study, if you believe. But is it active in your life? David said, even in the Old Testament, what? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your word. Jesus, when it came to the matter of resisting temptation with Satan, what did he do? He quoted the scripture, didn't he? It is written. It is written. It is written. He knew it. He believed it. He was active. And because of that, he was able to resist the temptation. I read a good statement the other day. This maybe came to my mind. You know how preachers are. When you preach as long, you've seen so many different things come to your mind. That when temptation comes to the door, you just ask Jesus to answer it, you know. You don't answer the door. You say, Lord, answer that. The door is for you, Lord. And, you know, that's pretty good. But nevertheless, looking at it, this word is active. It can bolster us. It can give us such comfort. I tell you what, preaching 53 years, that's nothing to brag about. I've read the Bible through. I read it, and I find things all the time that just bolsters my faith, gives me strength. I've come up, you know, here's 23rd Psalm, it's one of my favorites. Then the 27th Psalm was my favorite. Then the 34th Psalm was my favorite, you know. I just find new ones. Now I've got Isaiah 43. Oh, how wonderful it is. The Lord says, I want you to know I've redeemed you and you are mine, is what God says. Woo! Let me tell you. That gets me out. Y'all have to excuse me. I might get to shouting here in a minute, you know. I get so excited about my relationship with the Lord. And what his word does for my life and how it encourages me and how it bolsters me. It is so wonderful. Let me tell you, the word of God in your life can change your life. I don't care whether it's about marriage, you know. I've not always been successful there, as you well know. You know, but nevertheless, God has come back into our life. And he's bolstered me again. And I see things now that I've never seen before. And I'm able to share with people things I've never had to share before. But marriage needs the word of God in your life, you know. And we learn about that. And it can change a marriage. It can change a man. And how it changes a marriage is not so much of laying down laws about marriage as it is about laying down things about people. And so I realized that marriage is not about, you know, saying, hey, I don't want y'all to know I'm the head of my family. You know, I'm the boss. My wife says, you are the boss, sweetheart, but I'm the neck, and I turn the head. You can smile, all right, it's all right. But, you know, but the word of God is active, and it helps me. And so it changes this old boy right here. It changes my heart. It changes my attitude. It changes my purpose. It changes my desires. That's what it does for the individual. And that's how it helps us. And the same thing about the woman, you know. And you read about those people in the Bible who were good husbands and good wives, you know. And again, you know, so many times we just get to thinking about, well, you know, I'm the head, you know, she's the servant, you know, she's being submissive to me and what have you. It's more than that. It's when we become what we want to be. And more than anything else, do you know what we've got to become like? Jesus. We've got to become like Jesus. He is our example. First, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we're changed into His image, in the glorious image of Jesus, day by day. And how do we do that? Is we get to know about Jesus and the Word. This Word becomes active in us, and we begin to practice. You know why the doctor calls it a practice? Because he's practicing it every day. John, in his letter, 1 John chapter 3, talks about the Christian. And he says, Christian, actually, the word there in the original language is that we practice it every day. It's not something that we just do on Sunday, but it's day in and day out. We practice it. We get better and better and better. It doesn't happen overnight. Because somebody is buried in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, they don't automatically change, folks. It's a process. It's a process. I've given instructions to my family, my sons, my wife. When I die, at the end of my casket, there's going to be a sign. I told them I want this sign made up, and it's going to say, end of construction. Thank you for your patience. I saw that in a highway the other day, you know, and I thought, you know, that's a good sign. I think I'm going to have, that's what I'm going to have done, you know. God ain't through with me yet. You know, Pat's going to have a birthday this next week. Lady's going to have one here in about 3 weeks. And the day after she turns, well, how? Yeah. I'm going to turn 60 the day after she does, 25th of August, you know. God ain't through with me yet. You know, I haven't retired from life. I retired from preaching, full-time preaching, about 20 years ago. And then I went into the funeral business, and then I retired from that, and now I'm going back into it. I don't like retirement, you know. I'm active. I've got to be active. And so I've gone back to work, and we've moved to Rogers, Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas. We're only about 30 miles from Les and Linda, by the way, you know. And I keep saying I'm going to go over there and make Les by myself one night, you know. I'm going to try that. But anyway, but God ain't through with me yet, you know. And you've got to understand that God is not, we're temporary. I told the girls coming from Northwest Arkansas, it's about 400 miles from where I live. I don't think they'll ever get through with construction on interstates. I tell you what, it means all I've ever said. I mean, you just make it good time, and all of a sudden everything comes to a stop, you know. And then it's 10 miles an hour, you know. I passed one. Thank goodness I wasn't in that. That one was going west. Traffic was backed up for 5 miles. I said, I'm glad I'm on this side. Then about that time I ran into one down on my side. Thank goodness it wasn't 5 miles. But I told the girls two things I learned during that period of time coming down here. Number one, it reminded me that life, there's nothing in this life that's permanent. Everything, including interstate highways, is temporary. Even though they're made out of concrete and steel, they give way. And so nothing is simple, nothing is permanent. And I know that for sure, because this body, my mind says you graduated last year, John. But my body says, no, you didn't. Boy, you getting old. You know, you can't do what you used to do. You know, and so I realized that this body of mine is temporary. It's going to lay down here pretty soon. I'm going to give up, you know, and I'm going to be laid. I talked to
Phil Roberts, you know, the brown gun guy that came here a while back, and I said, Phil, we're getting old. He said, no, John, we're not getting old. We're just getting closer to the resurrection. And I like that, you know. And that's what it is. We're just getting closer to the resurrection. And that's true. So, number one, I learned that nothing is temporary. And the second thing, even though I got aggravated while I was had to wait during those periods of time, losing time, you know, to get down here, hey, I reached my destination. I reached my destination. I got where I was going. So, in spite of the fact that you may get aggravated, hold on. Just keep on. You may have to slow down, but you will reach your destination. Amen?
Amen.
I feel not too excited about that. You know?
Amen.
I believe you're going to reach. So, the Word of God, if you receive it as the Word of God, how long we got? It will change your life. It's got to become active. It will change your magnet. Of course, it's going to change the person. You're not perfect, you know. Construction is a part of life. I don't care how old you get. You need to be ready. I remember going to a workshop years ago in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Brother Leslie G. Thomas and his wife was there. Leslie G. and his wife were 86 years old. And they had a lot of different workshops going on. And I said, Brother Thomas, which workshop are you and your wife going to? He said, we're going to the marriage workshop. They've been married 60 years. He said, we're going to the marriage workshop. I said to myself, you're never too old to learn. You're never too old to change. Don't get set in your ways. If you're set in your ways, the Lord's not working on you. And the Bible is not working on you. The Word of God is not working on you. If you say, I'm set in the ways and I can't change.